Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are happy to be with you this Tuesday. We're just coming off of a wonderful weekend. We got to celebrate a great friend's birthday, Pastor Jimmy, Village Presbyterian Church. We also got to share a little update around Connect Global at his church on Sunday. So that was a really fun kind of experience. We got to see his new church there for the first time. We had not been there yet, but it was awesome. We got to meet a lot of nice people, got to share about Connect Global. Many people asked a lot of questions about Connect Global and how we did it and how we're doing now and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of cool. And like I said, it was also his 60th birthday. So it was kind of funny because he also said something about that during the service. Like, if you've missed my birthday, then go ahead and
Don't worry, there's still time to celebrate all week.
take this next week and keep celebrating me. So we're continuing to celebrate our good friend Jimmy Kazin. And we also wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of pressure, because I think, just to kind of tell a funny story, so we had been invited to come and speak at this church, I guess a couple of months ago or something.
Yeah.
But kind of leading up to it, so we're like, okay, we get 5 minutes, and it's kind of a very specific thing, which is great, perfect to know the parameters of what you're getting into.
Yeah, because sometimes we're leading the whole service and when invited, but this was just a 5-minute commercial, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, there's different prep and different expectancy when you're doing 40 minutes of speaking or more.
Yeah.
Or when you're doing 5 minutes. Sometimes it's harder to condense things down into 5 minutes. People can ramble on forever, as you may know. But anyway, the kind of funny thing was is that, of course, we show up on time. We get there, but we didn't really realize what order we were going in. And so it was almost as though we were the very first thing, first up.
We were.
So.
Which is unusual. Usually there's like a greeting at church, like at the church services we normally get asked to speak at, there's typically a greeting to the congregation that the pastor or someone from the congregation would do, and then there would be a time of music and worship, and then typically after that there would be an offering taken and announcements given, and then a introduction our, like, the reason why we would be there. So this was a little different.
Yeah, so to me, I just felt like there is an added amount of pressure walking in. People were trying to greet us, trying to, you know, like, yeah. I said, there are a lot of people very nice there. And then it was just kind of like, okay, we need to steal these people away and, you know, they need to be up
right there, to the stage.
Right away. So the idea of pressure is one of those things that we cannot escape. You know, pressures are everywhere, whether we're parenting, whether we're leading our organizations or our teams within our work, you know, school-aged kids, I mean, they face a lot of pressures these days, whether it just be grades, peer pressure, pressure from outside forces and their parents trying to make sure that we're all doing the right things and make sure that we're on the right paths. So pressure is an inevitable part of life. The only variable that we have, the only thing that kind of makes one, you know, pressure good or one pressure bad is how we handle it, how we either see pressure as a hindrance or we can see it as a privilege. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the success of any organization, any individual, any leader, is how do we view pressure? Do we see it as a privilege or do we see it as a hindrance? And I think to me, one of the things about Connect Global is that there's always a constant pressure from lots of different areas. You know, of course, you know, we got the opportunity to found Connect Global. It'll be 12 years this July. And there's pressures that come with that. There's pressures from our board members, pressures from donors, and, you know, the expectancy of the excitement of the projects and want to know the updates and want to know, you know, how things are progressing and going. There's pressures from our team, from our members of the local team in Honduras and different places in which we've done projects and have our programs. There's constant pressures. You know, there's things that change on a daily basis. governmental, you know, shifts, policy changes, changes at the hospital where we have the maternity home, that all then kind of force us towards making decisions and making sure that we're kind of staying with the trends and staying with those shifts and changes. But how I see it is that the privilege of that pressure is something that people don't often recognize, whether it's in our organization or in others, because that means that people rely on you. It means that people are counting on you. It means that people need you, and that you've obviously have at some point provided value to them. And so that's, to me, that's one of the ideas of pressure that we've kind of been talking through the last few months. And if you've read The Connection magazine, or if you found us on Medium or even on our website, you can see there's a couple of articles that we've written under pressure is one of them, and then also the privilege of pressure. One way to look at pressure is that pressure can be a mirror. That's a way in which we kind of reflect to others, but also can see ourselves, whether it be for better or worse, how we're handling the pressure. I know that sometimes I can have my own reputation of not handling pressure at times exactly right. And, you know, I think anyone and everyone probably has at least one time where they can point to something that didn't go their way, didn't work out. We were expecting a different outcome or different results. And maybe just in the moment, just sort of like allow that pressure to boil over. And so when the heat rises and you get worked up, how you handle that, how you respond to that. I know that there are people who are maybe naturally or have practiced being very cool under pressure, and being able to learn how to harness that pressure, use it for our good, formulate a best response, that shows growth. That shows as a leader, as a parent, as even a student, that shows a maturity, that shows growth. And that idea has helped me with every aspect of my life, with work, with our family, with even friends, knowing how my responses are then going to be looked at or, you know, judged in that moment. It's not about trying to put on a different face, but it's literally about trying to say, how can I best respond when the heat gets turned up? Because pressure, like I said, pressure is literally a precursor of growth. Any change, any development, any, you know, if we're going to grow as, you know, humans, as, you know, good people, pressure is going to come along with that. Because the more you stretch yourself, the more you get out of your comfort zone, the more that you, you know, move into maybe higher positions or, you know, your family grows, pressure is going to come. So if we know that, if we know that pressure is going to come before growth, we can then start to visualize pressure as a privilege and not just a hindrance.
Yeah, I'm looking at this quote from Andy Rooney, and he says, "Everyone wants to live on top of the mountain, but all the happiness and growth occurs while you're climbing it."
Yes, that's
and
good.
And so I think that that sentiment is pretty accurate according to how we all feel.
Yeah.
It's like we all love the idea of success and being on the mountaintop, you know, having a position of leadership, all of those things. But the difficulty comes in the climb.
Right.
And so it's like there's a lot of pressure in that climb, you know.
Right.
It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall in your lap. But as we all know, and kind of like what this quote is saying, is that the growth only comes from the climb.
Yes.
And so I feel like for me, anytime I've been forced to get out of my comfort zone, that's where all the growth has come. And my kind of motto is just do it afraid.
Yeah.
Because if we, like for me personally, if I didn't do things that I was either uncomfortable doing or afraid to do, I would not have lived this life that I've lived with you.
Yes.
Specifically.
No.
And then also, even just aside from like the things that we have done with Connect Global, even just in my corporate job and things like that, if I would have said no to certain things because I was uncomfortable or because I was afraid, I wouldn't have seen the level of success that I had there either.
Right.
But the thing is that it's kind of surprising once you start to figure out that most often things are uncomfortable.
Yes.
And require growth.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know, I don't feel like that's unique to you or I, but it feels a lot of the situations we are in are uncomfortable and do require growth.
Right.
So to me, it is a privilege, and I see that perspective, and I definitely see how that's played out in our own life. To me, I don't envy, you know, someone who has chosen not to develop themselves or ever make themselves uncomfortable, because those are usually not the most fulfilled people. So sometimes we think that, you know, the worst thing in the world is going to be my discomfort. But sometimes basking in comfort is actually the worst thing in the world for us.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because I think sometimes, you know, we've talked about it before, where, you know, in order to grow, you have to be uncomfortable. You know, there has to be, you know, whether it's whatever. I mean, growth of plants, you know, usually when you're pruning and trimming and, you know, it feels like you're damaging the plant. It feels like, you know, because you literally are. You're topping off your plants when they're starting to sprout. You're trimming back. You're doing these things. And sometimes that feels like you're doing more damage than good. But it's within that discomfort, within that, you know, the literal tearing down and breaking down, that new growth can come.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with us. You know, when we start to face big things, like, you know, like you said, if we choose to lean into that, if we choose to say, okay, I'm going to embrace this hardship or this new thing or this new challenge or learn a new skill, all of those things, that's what leaders do. That's what great leaders do, is that we embrace change, we embrace the uncomfortable, we lean towards the messy rather than the comfortable and the stable. And it's, to me, I think you're always going to have people who may try to critique that.
Yeah.
Because it's always easier to critique than to create.
Yeah, criticizing and critiquing is way, takes way less effort than creating.
Right. And so it's easier to say, okay, well, their pressure looks different than my pressure, or their challenge looks different than my challenge, or I wouldn't have handled that decision that way.
Yeah.
But unless you're the one that's in the hot seat, unless you're the one that's actually having to make the decision and leverage, you know, all the things towards making the best decision, you really don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the other thing about not critiquing other people's decisions, you know, because sometimes it's very easy to second guess or armchair quarterback someone else's deal.
Yeah.
But we don't know all the outside pressures that maybe we didn't see. We don't know the things that they were up against or challenges that they were kind of, you know, having to go through. But to me, I feel like the best thing, you know, rather than, you know, trying to critique or trying to even fill your life with critics, because it's very easy to listen to the critics and easy to allow those people to, you know, voice to be louder than the truth. I would suggest that, you know, we're meant to not handle pressure alone.
Yeah.
That we should handle it with others, that we should be able to find people. And this is easier said than done, for sure. But we need to have people in our life that we can trust, that have our best interest in mind, because we're definitely meant to do life in community. We're not meant to do life by ourselves. And I would say definitely for the pressures that come, you know, whether they be parenting or progressing at your job or in your, you know, current field or whatever. We talk a lot about this, but maybe you can also kind of just add some commentary about community. The importance of who it is that we have in our corner, you know, who it is that we are texting, and both, you know, because that's the thing too, it can't go one way.
Yeah.
You know, community, true community is sort of like this back and forth. Sometimes we're the ones helping others, you know, walk through their pressure. And thankfully, we have a couple of people that can, that will preempt. They'll call us, you know, before we even have a chance to share what we're going through. It's almost like they kind of know what's going on. And we'll get a text message or an email or something that just says, hey, I'm just thinking about you, checking in, you know, praying for you.
Yeah.
But community is one of those things that you can't do life without. And I think especially with the pressures of life, we absolutely need to find people that we trust to build community with.
Yeah, I think community is so important because in the context of pressure and things like that, because that's the place in which we're known as people. Mm. And so if you don't have a sense of being known by the people you spend time with, then you really don't have true community.
Right.
Kind of a funny example of that was not too long ago. You and I had made some plans with some friends well in advance, like we normally do, because our calendars and schedules are crazy, as a lot of people's are.
Yes.
And so it wasn't unusual, but we had made some plans with some friends well in advance, and when the day came, I was actually not feeling well, and we had to cancel, which was very unlike us. We just don't do that. We make our plans, we stick to them, no matter whether it's work or fun or, you know, anything in between. We're always, you know, we just kind of stick to what we said we're gonna do.
Yeah.
And you know, that sometimes that can be difficult because, as we know, there's always moving parts and things change.
Yes.
But it was interesting because I was really not feeling well. And was in communication with the doctor and things like that, trying to kind of figure out next steps.
Right.
And so I wrote our friend and said, hey, I'm so sorry to do this, but I'm going to have to cancel tonight. I'm really not feeling well, XYZ. And she wrote right back and said, you're never sick. What's going on?
Yeah.
And so I just love that because that's a sign of someone actually knowing you.
Exactly.
Someone knowing you beyond the surface, someone knowing you beyond just whatever the perception is of you or these things. But that's someone that over years and years and years could easily identify, this is very unusual. What's
going on?
Out of
the ordinary, yeah.
Yeah. And so that, I think, community is so crucial for things like that, for people to actually know you, for people to call greatness out of you,
right,
for people to challenge you, for people to be a safe space for you, to share, you know, difficult things or hard things. You know, I think that it's just one of those aspects in life that if you don't have it, the idea of your success will not even be fully realized, because then you also have no one to share it with.
Exactly right.
And so it seems sometimes easier to find success if you're on your own.
Right.
Like you can skyrocket right to the top all by yourself, right?
That's the perception. Yeah, that's
That's the perception, and sometimes it's
sometimes
reality.
Sometimes it feels reality. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But it's success in one very narrow, you know, aspect,
right,
like business.
Right.
And then everything else is, you know, everything else has now been left in shambles. Your family, your friendships, your peace, your security, you know, things like that. And
right,
so I feel like when you make those investments in community and actually true relationships and friendships, that kind of helps prevent you from ending up that way, from ending up with no depth of relationship,
right,
with no one to bounce ideas off of, and no one to say, hey, I don't know, I saw this and it concerned me.
Exactly.
So I think that that's a crucial aspect of community in our life, is it can create that safe space, and it can also be that place where people that know us and love us can also challenge us on different things for our good.
Yes, and I think that's the goal, is to surround ourselves with people who can help us walk through the pressures of life, who can help us be the best version of ourselves, to be a better version of ourselves. And that we can also do the same for them. You know, like I said, it's a two-way street. And so I want to encourage you that if you're listening to this, I know you may be dealing with some pretty heavy things right now. You know, whether it be financial or whether it be with your children, with your spouse. There may be some really hard things that you're dealing with, but I want to encourage you that you don't have to do those things alone. When we isolate, when we pull back and retract from others, you know, it feels like maybe those pressures mount even faster, and can feel like we can be spiraling into, you know, a pretty deep abyss of pressure and anxiety. Stress comes with that, and a whole host of other things, as we know, can follow that. But I want to encourage you that you have people. If you're listening to this, if you're a friend of ours, if you're someone that's in our circle, in our life, we're here. So you have someone, you have people that can be there for you, that can hear you, that can listen with you. Sometimes that's all it takes. It doesn't take a bunch of advice. It just takes a listening ear. And so I think I want to just leave you with that. I want to encourage you to find people, reach out to people. Don't do life alone. It's when we do things alone, like Danielle said, it may feel like, okay, I'm just going to be light and fast and try and get some things done, but we really are better together. We're really better when we find the people, find our tribe, find the ones that will cheer us on, challenge us, and essentially help us handle the pressures of life. So we want to pray with you. We want to be here for you. If there's anything that you can share with us, or you would even just say, hey, just pray for me, and no details. You don't have to say anything. You can always text us, email us. We'll put the information in the show notes where how you can contact us. And we will. Danielle and I are people who, if we say we're going to pray for you, we will actually do it. We spend a lot of time, you know, sincerely seeking, you know, God and praying, you know, for others, praying on the behalf of others, because we do believe in it. We believe that it works. And that's one of the ways in which we handle pressure is through prayer.
Yeah.
Not without action, not without planning, yeah, strategizing, and figuring out how best to handle things. But prayer absolutely is a part of that plan. Part of our procedure. So I want to just say, you know, if there's anything that you need prayer for, if you need any just sort of a connection, but I encourage you to find that, to seek that out this week. Don't handle things alone. Don't be by yourself. Don't isolate. There's people who are willing to walk through this with you, walk through the pressure that you're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And I encourage you to do that, to not, you know, shrink back from that.
Psalms 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And so that's kind of the premise for prayer. It's like there's a lot that we can do as people to take action in different circumstances, like you're saying.
Yep.
But also we are able to cast our burdens, you know, on the Lord. And he will carry us through and will sustain us.
Awesome. Yep. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Connection Podcast. You can find us on Spotify and, of course, on Apple. But we just encourage you to reach out to someone this week. Make sure that you don't do life alone. You can find this podcast every single Tuesday. You can find our articles, written articles like Under Pressure and The Privilege of Pressure, on Medium, and also on our own published magazine, The Connection Magazine. We'll put all of those links in the show notes so you can find that very easily. And please, please, please feel free to share both this podcast and any links to our magazine or our other articles, because it helps get the word out, it helps people stay encouraged, and then it helps us connect with people and make sure that we, you know, are there for people when they need us. So thank you so much. We hope you have a great week. And of course, we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.